You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 25th, 2022. And the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was the 900 in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
I'm George Albor.
And we are your Dark Lords.
Oh, sit upon my throne.
Here to talk to you about the devil. It's
Hail
episode
Satan, baby.
Number 666.
Oh, you know we had to do it.
So thankfully, we're not doing a video podcast because, one, you'd be able to see my grotesque transformation, and two, you'd have to see me throwing up the horns and headbanging for the entire, you know, That's 25 true. Minutes or whatever that we're going to be talking about this.
I grew a goatee for this episode. So.
Oh, no, it's evil, George.
Joke's on you. Half the episodes have been evil, George.
Which ones will I miss surprise you? But we're going to talk about... The devil.
Evil George is the one that shit talks The Witcher at every chance he can get.
Oh man, it would be funny if some of the goaties slash gamies, we could analyze them. Where it's like, oh shit, this is when Evil George was possessed. demons, devils, hell, Satan, everything's on the table this week. Or we'll have a little wacky episode about some of our favorite demonic video games and Satan-related stories out there.
Yeah.
It's also funny because on a more academic note, video games and the devil have been connected for a long time based off of the kind of moral panics of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too is the moral panic at that time felt so driven, I guess this has always been the case, right? But so driven by this fear of the unknown, right? Or yeah. Like, I can't explain it. I don't know. I don't know why, like, some people would think Monster Energy drink is satanic, but maybe it's like, I don't understand why people are drinking energy drinks, you know?
I'm more of rock star man myself.
Yeah, or like people not fully understand. Dungeons and Dragons is the pinnacle example, right? Like a lot of people don't understand that logic, right? Like, you look at the Monster Manual and you see this like grotesque art, you know, that is inspired by like metal albums and just and in fact it's the other way around, like they're just great talented artists of the time. And I think a lot of folks on the sort of Christian concerned right at the time saw that shit and was like, that was it, right? That's the surface level. If I don't understand it, it must be bad. Versus, you know, even going a little bit into that D&D time, like anyone who's played D&D, the idea of it being a simulator for worshiping Satan is the most comical shit, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's so nerdy, and you just sit down and you're like, I'm an adventuring hero. I'm an Arakakra. I got wings and I worship, like, you know, this holy god of light and stuff. And you're going into dungeons and, like, you know, fighting kobolds. It just has nothing to do with Satan at all. Yeah. And in fact, the way that I think that the video games are satanic perspective, it makes video games and D&D seem cooler than it actually is, you know?
Because, like, it's a more legitimacy.
if it those Michael Chick comics, is that his name? Like the crazy evangelical Christian comic book artist has a great one about D&D that is just so hilarious to read. Because, dude, if playing D&D could result in me having access to actual fucking magic, I would be throwing the horns left and right. Like, you couldn't get me away from the table.
Yes.
You know?
If I could harness the power of our Dark Lord.
Yeah. Give me a witchcraft.
I think there is. I mean, back in the day, I used to know more about this stuff, like, when I was writing about it. But, like, it's just a long... There's a very tight ecosystem of, you know, moral panics around books and comic books and then, you know, certain rock and roll music and then D&D and video games got rolled up into that, of course, since there's a lot of shared, you know, lineage with D&D. So it's kind of funny that there are a fair amount of games with, you know, demons and devils and such in them. But then there are also people that are truly panicked about that stuff.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my aunt was super religious, you know, giving me every time there was an opportunity to talk to me about the good Lord, she would take it. Right. And I would get for my birthday Bibles every time. And I remember she like threw out a good deal of my magic cards that I had brought over to show my cousin because the magic cards were satanic.
Oh, my God.
And I was like a bad influence because I had given him magic cards, you know?
Oh, my God. Were there any rare cards in there? Like,
was I mean, fucking probably. It was like the early 90s. All those cards are worth bank now, you know? And I just, my cousin threw them in the trash because his mother was going to like beat him with a wooden spoon or something, you know?
Beat the Satan out of him.
Yeah.
So let's talk about demonic video games here. Where do we want to start?
I think we have to start with the one and only Diablo, right?
The titular, the eponymous Diablo.
Primeval. Now, here's the thing. A lot of video games like Diablo, I never really finish, right? Like, I don't think I must have finished one of the Diablos because I've played them like multiple run-throughs and stuff, but I never really think about the story. Is it a classical devil? Like, it feels to me that so much of the devil in video games, like, it's not fallen angel, Lucifer, right? You know, war against God. It's like some other sort of, I don't know, like...
It is a demon kind of versus a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like some embodiment of like the chaos from between the planes,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's funny when I think about the, you know, the Lucifer version of it, it makes me think more of like a summon from a Final Fantasy game or something. Like they really get into that, like more
hell yeah,
traditional
dude.
Christian mythology, you know, versus the just the beast, you know, the devil as the beast versus the devil as like the antagonist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Bahamut summons. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think Diablo classic, right? Right there in the name. Also, just it's kind of like unapologetically of that. Milieu, you know, it is like straight up demons, you know, straight up devilry, medieval style looks to all of that stuff.
I mean, just generally speaking, like, what are your thoughts on like demons and devils just as like a archetype?
I mean, it's kind of
they got a lot of legs, right? Sometimes kind of, literally.
I mean, I think you know, there's a reason why humans have had them in every culture, everywhere, some version of some sort of, you know, ill spirit or whatever in all mythology, where it's like, there's a great antagonist. They're evil and messed up looking and causing trouble and great fodder, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And for video games specifically, you can do literally anything with them. Like, if you need them as grunts, there they are. If you need them as, you know, magical opponents, that's also great. If you need them as like huge brutes, that's also good. You know, there's such a wealth of things to draw on that it's this infinite antagonist that you can just mutate.
Yeah, I recently read Arthur C. Clarke's Childhood's End. Hmm. So minor spoiler for a novel that came out in 1950s, but the aliens show up and go hover the earth, like these individual guardians, and they refuse to show themselves for like an entire generation. So no one knows what these aliens look like. And it's revealed afterwards, once mankind has been acclimated to the idea of these overlords, that they look like our classic demonic vision. And they didn't show themselves because they knew if they did, it would bring all this baggage, right? You can't see an alien come off a ship with leathery wings and horns and tail and like, you know, cloven hooves and stuff, and not be like, this thing is fucking evil, right? And I like that idea because it plays into exactly what you're saying, is this historical sort of pre-knowledge about what like a demon looks like, you know? And what's so great, I think, and empowering about them to this day, like I still genuinely love the aesthetic of this various demons in video games, and, you know, Magic the Gathering has a great set of demons in the game and in their lore, because as long as you're working within the bounds of expectations around what a demon is, you can be really creative. Like, you could have cool powers and you could have cool looks. You could have your own cool motivations, because there are the idea of the demons and devil-like creatures is that they have their own motivations. Like, they are driven by greed or lust or power or envy, you know what I mean? There's this very like carnal drive that demons and the devil embodies that I think is makes for some really cool villainous storytelling and villainous opportunities.
Yeah. You can have it both ways. You can have it be like a classic thing that calls upon so many other historical tropes, but also you can refresh it as much as you want, because really it's just the malice that matters versus the,
yes,
you know, having a consistent look. So you can do whatever you like with it, which I mean is cool. And you know, it's why it persists. The other one that I always think about is Doom.
Yeah.
Literally a portal to hell opens up on Mars, and you're fighting all these crazy demons and you know, Satan. The reason why Doom always struck me, especially, and it's kind of, you know, spiritual sequel or whatever with Quake, there is that griminess to it and, you know, the kind of, you know, just horror bound stuff. But I really like the juxtaposition of fighting these medieval looking enemies with modern weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to shoot this demon with a shotgun. You know, like that sort of stuff is very funny to my brain, you know, because it looks like a fucking Dark Ages tableau or whatever, except that you have a chainsaw.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of like demons that are floating eyeballs where you will jump up on them and like rip them in half.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, I think one of the reasons the humor works is exactly for the same reason that we've been talking about demons being so iconic, right? Is they have a sort of psychological power just in the way that they look. And Doom just completely deflates that. Like the idea that hell is scared of this one guy with a chainsaw.
The Doom Slayer.
The Doom Slayer is just endlessly hilarious to me, right? Like, they turn classic-looking demons into the cannon fodder that the grunts are in Halo, right? We're like, oh no, Master Chief is coming, run! You know, like, it's great.
What are some of your historical favorite video games with the Dark Lord in it?
So one that I don't think I ever finished, but I wanted to talk about because it never quite leaves my mind, is Dante's Inferno.
Oh, man. A classic literally about going to hell, just like
another
Doom.
it's another weird example, though, right? Because Dante's Inferno is trying to be authentic. Like, it's not trying to undermine in the same way that Doom is.
No, it's trying to create it seems like it's trying to create a straight-faced story about a journey to hell.
Yeah, but you cannot have, like, you cannot fight demons. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the challenge, right? Can you fight demons and the devil and be taken seriously if you're just literally fighting them? I mean, you know, Dante has magical powers and stuff, but, you know,
Do they do anything? That's a game that I haven't thought about for a long time. That game must have come out, 10 years ago plus or something like that?
It's so weird because I honestly think about Dante's Inferno a lot, but I think in that comical way. Like, it is a game of its time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a early aughts sort of...
unnecessarily, like, hardcore.
Yeah, there's kind of a renaissance of the, like, early 2000s hardcore try-hard stuff.
Yeah, trying to be, like, too serious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are some things where, I mean, let's think of like an alternate example of, because in a way, like even your first example with Diablo, I think is like a fairly, there's obviously humor in it, but it is, you know, a little bit more serious. What else?
Well, because in Dante's Inferno, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't like his wife is dead and like might be married to Satan or something?
I feel like that was the story, or that was the point of the video game, where you were going to try to save someone, which I mean is you know, a pretty common trope across, you know, various other mythologies. Sure. I think, you know, one that I think about a lot that I also like quite a bit because of its like gruesomeness is The Binding of Isaac.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's nothing but, like, demons and devils and just horrible, you know, unearthly creatures or whatever. But it's funny because it talks specifically about, I mean, that stuff that you were talking about in your family. Where, like, the whole point about The Binding of Isaac is it's a metaphor for this kid that is being raised in a super strict religious household and, you know, feels and is either abused or at least feels completely put out by it. And so yeah. it manifests with like the most extreme version of what those people are afraid of, which is you're literally using piss and shit and blood to fight demons.
Yeah. The idea that, I mean, I guess both of those, right? That and Doom to some extent are like taking those fears, which yeah. demons often are, right? Is like reflecting those fears that we might have.
Yeah.
And animating them in a way to, I mean, I guess in one case, deflate their power, and another yeah. to sort of pinpoint exactly like, well, I don't know. I mean, in a way, Binding of Isaac does deflate that power also, right? Because part of the point is that these things are metaphors for the abuse that the character is going through, not like actual yeah. threats, right? Like the far greater threat was the fact Isaac was thrown into the fucking basement in the first place.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I also like this is kind of similar to Diablo in that a cool stage for a demonic game is a run-based or procedurally generated game, because it's just like the ever-shifting bowels of hell and you're just going through it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that setting for it, because you just always are seeing something new, but it's the same theme of like, okay, I've finally gotten to this ring of you know, hell, and now I've gotten to this ring, but it's this kind of shifting sand that everything's built on.
Yeah. One of the games that I think is kind of cool in the way that they play with demonology and that kind of stuff is the Persona series.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. the personas that you can summon, like, you know, in a way it's Pokemon-esque.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's, here's like a Snow Prince or whatever. But
Jack Frost, my homie.
Yeah, like Jack Frost is a classic example, right? But Beelzebub, like Lucifer. Yeah. Lucifer is a summon in the Persona series, you know? And in fact, what I love about the Persona series as a whole is, in fact, that it uses it in the same way, these characters, as the way that we would talk about almost like mask theater in folklore.
Yeah.
Or really, honestly, the way that the Satanic Church today sees Satan as the symbol of individual freedoms, right? Yeah. Like yeah. It is a manifestation of something that's true and desirable about like the way that you live your life, right? Yeah. Like you summon Lucifer or you call these demons to your aid in Persona, not because they're evil, but because they represent fighting back against the fucking status quo, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like or fighting back against an unjust system. Like that's who Lucifer is in these.
Yeah. I also think it's cool to see some of that stuff come out of Japan. Because there's not as much of the baggage around, oh, this is a specific character in a specific religion. It's like, you know, it always felt like Japanese games use it in the same way that we would use, demons from Greek mythology, where it's like, hey, this is not yeah. our religion anymore. This is not our culture anymore. So we can just kind of use them as characters. Whereas, you know, the devil and Satan and stuff is a little close to home for a lot of people, at least in, you know, America especially, but the Western European centric world in general, where you just have to tread a little bit more on eggshells. Whereas in Japan, it's like, yeah, man, like this is just another demon from another culture. Let's throw it in there as a summon that Squall does. You know, it's like, great, cool. You know,
yeah. Like, well, the best thing too is like you have to fuse it, right? Like you fuse Lucifer by like fusing Satan yeah. and Anubis and like, you know, various other
yeah.
Godly creatures. I mean, besides God of War, Persona has to be the most blasphemous video game
right, just,
series, right?
Well, especially just, and God of War takes it so seriously, you know, whereas Persona is much more utilitarian, where it's like, hey, I need more MP, so I'm just going to mash Lucifer into Jack Frost and see what happens. You know, like it's just they kind of throw it off in a way that is funny.
They accidentally deflated of their power too, because you'll combine them, or you're like, I don't need Satan anymore. I'm just going to disenchant him and replace him with like a floating marshmallow.
Yeah, persona. I'm going to break down Satan for his component parts.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Cuphead because I liked Cuphead a lot. The
mustache twirling insidious devil.
I also watched the Cuphead TV show on Netflix, which was pretty good. And like the devil was like a main character in there. But a classic, like, you know, kind of 1930s, 40s mustache villainous devil. But the whole point was that there was there was a deal with the devil. You know, you made a deal and sold your soul to the devil, or were trying to save people who sold their souls. And I was trying to think of other games where there was some sort of brokering, you know, versus just like a straight up fight, you know?
Yeah, like Animal Crossing, because that raccoon has got to be the devil in disguise.
Tom Nook.
Tom Nook is the devil in disguise.
They said he would come with a mask. I can't think of too many other games, though, where there's kind of a there's that trade, you know, the devil as a trickster, you know, or, you know, something where you are trying to get something, or you're trying to pull one over on the devil. That's why Cuphead like jumped out at me like that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a classic story, right?
The Faustian bargain. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. Interesting.
Another one that I was thinking about, classic one, which is like much more subtle, is one of our favorite quest lines from Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
What did they call him? Did they call him the Stranger?
The Stranger? I forget
what it
was. Or was that like Death himself, though?
Maybe it was Death. It seemed like some sort of like, what is this? Like some sort of kind of menacing, some sort of menacing figure in the world that you're not quite sure of, which is a much more subtle way of playing it than you know, something like Doom or Diablo or what have you.
Well, I think what's so great about the sort of 1950s Cuphead aesthetic of the devil and the devil in something like Red Dead, right, is that it connects to this version of demons or the devil or death representing vice, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are all of these like it's calling to you, right? Like or even in the case of Red Dead, that it's foundational to the myth of America, you know, that like, oh, these are elements that are part of like who you actually are, or if you succumb to your baser urges, you know, in Cuphead it's gambling, but you know, the boogeyman took many forms in the history of the US, and it's interesting to see that sort of materialized in the game.
Are all of those, I mean, there's so many horror games out there. It almost feels like there was kind of like a renaissance with all of the like jump scare games of like, you know, demons, devils, so on and so forth.
Sure, yeah. Like Dead by Daylight and modern horrors, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any are like truly the devil, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That you like kind of, there's like one force directing that the army of darkness, if you will.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there's not, I mean, I don't know. I mean, in a way, maybe we're just past it in many ways, right? Like the idea of, and in fact, when you think about video games or demons or villains sort of representing our fears again, like bringing it back to that conversation, you know, in this day and age when our fears are, it's not a singular thing or even a singular vice, it's like climate change. It's, you know, mass discontent. Social ennui, right? Yeah. Like it is these large scale, widespread, difficult to pinpoint things. The idea of like, oh, it is the devil feels reductive.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Yeah. And so manifesting the fear in the form of a devil or even in the form of like an individual villain, right? Like it seems, I don't know, like uninteresting or incapable of really tapping into our actual anxieties as we you live them today.
I would be interested in seeing if you can manifest that as like an atomic person, though, you know, someone who
like one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse or something.
Maybe. I mean, someone who kind of understands the forces at work and is there orchestrating them, where it's like, these are my tools, you know, like I something that is, I almost feel like in a weird way, it's not Satan specifically, but like it's certainly like demon inspired. But all of the demons, Dark Souls, Souls games are like there's this underlying menace throughout the entire world. And you get the sense that there's some sort of force pushing that menace forward, even if it's not like controlling it one to one. and you can kind of finally get there at the end of most of those games where it's like, ah, here is the source of all of that shit. You know, I'm interested by that stuff.
But I kind of feel the opposite though, right? Like in something like Dark Souls, it feels like you're doomed, right? Like this has happened countless times before and it'll happen again. It almost feels like nature, a second nature, right? Like you awaken as an Ashen One because everyone else has failed to link the embers. Yeah. And it's happened before and it'll happen again. And you were probably dead and missed out on all the other fire linkings. And, you know, it doesn't feel like there's an intelligence behind the decay of the world, per se.
Maybe Demon's Souls is a better example of that.
Demon's Souls more so, yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
But it's also funny because, like, the end of Demon's Souls, I feel like, is kind of, you know, you find this shriveled husk, basically, where it's like, oh, this is what was directing all of this stuff. You know, it was kind of the forces themselves have gotten away from that ultimate bad guy, but it was still satisfying to see, oh man, have I found the source of all that shit?
Yeah. I mean, Bloodborne's the same, right? Like when you play the DLC and you go back to, you know, finding the, what is it? I forget what that last, oh God, I'm gonna hate myself now. The final enemy in the Bloodborne DLC. Which is basically the source of the blood that started the whole thing, right? Like, it is a freaky enemy. It's such an awesome villain. It is the source of why, you know, the events of Bloodborne took place. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like not really their fault, you know? Like, it is man that chose that. I mean, per your Faustian bargain, it is our hubris that chose to administer the blood and spread it and, you know, exploit our human frailties.
Right. I wonder if are there any games upcoming that are demonic in nature? There's that game about vampires that's coming out.
The next Bayonetta game, I'm sure.
Oh man, Bayonetta. But again, I think Bayonetta is a great example of like a Japanese developer using pseudo-Christian trappings to just tell something that looks sick. You know, like tell a story that looks cool versus like this is a Christian story about Christian mythology, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Maybe Hellblade. I mean, the original Hellblade, you know, Senua went to the Norse version of Hell.
That's true, yeah. And there were plenty of demonic, you know, demonic adventures in that story.
Mm-hmm.
What's that game that... it's the next... Elder Scrolls. It's the next game by Bethesda, the Fallout game, but set in space. Is it Starfield?
Oh, Starfield?
I mean, it would be so cool if there was some sort of space devil that they found out there. You know, like at some point in the universe, you found something that kind of to that space Arthur Satan. C. Clarke thing, where it's like, oh crap! Like this is some sort of primal fear. You know?
Yeah, I mean that is a scary idea, right? Like that is. That is a horror, right? Like you go to space and you meet crazy aliens and the aliens are like, oh, you want to hear what scares me? Like what keeps me up at night?
Yeah.
This fucking thing.
Yeah. Where it's like, you thought it was below you? Surprise, it was above you the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the Arthur C. Clarke work is great because, you know, that is the idea, right? Like, oh, maybe we're scared of this thing because that's something that we encountered back when the aliens built the pyramids or whatever.
Is that where that story goes?
No. That the aliens built the pyramids? No.
Did they interact, like, at all with... Is that why we have some sort of, like, primal fear of that? Because the aliens did visit us?
Yeah, it's alluded... Yeah, exactly right. That they did visit us and that they were there. I mean, again, spoilers for Childhood's End. But one of the fascinating things about that series, right, is that the characters dealing with these overlords that look like demons have this concern of like, well, what are their, you know, he writes it that they're so far advanced. They're so alien, right? They have access to technology and abilities that are so above and beyond better than ours that they might as well be demons. Like they might as well be gods because we cannot access that.
Yeah.
At all, right? And at the very end of Childhood's End, you've discovered that their motivation was actually to get humanity themselves to sort of join the hive mind and transcend their physical form.
Mm.
And to those demon aliens, that new form that humanity takes, that next step, the childhood's end of humanity, is even above them. Like, that is so alien to them that they can't understand it, right? Like, and that scale, that idea of, like, this huge gap between yourself and something else in terms of power and understanding and will, like, that is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think when gods are used effectively and demons in storytelling and stuff, like, that, that to me is the cool, exciting stuff, because that really strikes at what separates them, right? Versus, you know, a demon or a devil just being like, you know, a gambling addict. Yeah. You know, like, someone that is just like, or just driven by malice, right? Which is, like, far less interesting to me than something that is indecipherable or indescribable.
Truly, you know? Alien.
Yeah. I mean, and those, even the Alien films do it too, right? Like, I think that horror works so effectively because, like, I don't know. I mean, a xenomorph is scarier to me than countless demons and devils in legitimate horror movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because, you know, it's kind of, it's something that isn't created by us. It's something that is, like, independent, you know, an independent thing.
Well, and doesn't even care about you. Like, that's far scarier, right? Like, the idea of the Satan or the devil being really concerned about who does or does not possess your soul feels, like, minuscule or
it's like low stakes.
Yeah, it's like relatively low stakes versus, like, I don't even give a fuck about you, you know, like, your soul is meaningless to me.
I'm talking on galactic proportions or whatever instead of your tiny little soul.
Exactly. Like, Galactus level Marvel villains versus, you know, the Vulture.
Well, now I feel a warm fondness towards the devil and Cuphead because he cares. You know, he does. He wants my soul.
Exactly, dude. That's why you're still special in either case, you know?
I also now, having talked about all these games, I'm feeling this, like, really big pull to play a lot of them. So this is a dangerous, perhaps a possessed conversation that we're having here.
I mean, it all drove to this. I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm feeling the pull towards Binding of Isaac, and I must fight it. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. If you want to pray to us, you can leave a comment on any of these posts.
First, scratch a pentagram into your floor, though, please.
Yeah, spread the good word of the Dark Lord Satan, and tell a friend about the podcast.
All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.